Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
305 Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Wednesday. Well, I'm excited. What can I tell you? It's kind of sort of like a Friday for me. So this is not, well, all right, tomorrow would be Friday Eve. So this would be Friday Eve Eve. How's that work for you? Let me handle a couple of things right off the top. Number one, with all due respect to Governor Youngkin, who you know I love and think the world of, we do not need a nationwide search to find the replacement for Colonel Gary Settle. I'm here to tell you that the bench is deep within VSP. The Virginia State Police, I guarantee you right now, already have someone who can easily, professionally, honorably move up to the superintendent slot. That's all I'm going to say. Well, it's not, of course, no, it's not all I'm going to say, because I can't just say a little something about anything, right? Let me say this. Thank you to Colonel Gary Settle for having served. Gary Settle is one of the best of the best, one of the most decent, honorable, professional men I have ever encountered. Every single interaction with him through the last 6 years, gosh, is it 6 years already, that he has been superintendent, has been nothing but stellar. And he is truly one of the most decent, humble men you would ever want to meet. And I am sorry to see him retire. But that's a purely selfish thing, right? Who am I to say, oh, no, stick around a little bit longer? But he has served this Commonwealth with distinction and with honor. And he's going to be missed. He's just going to be missed. That's all I'm going to say. It's a while, right? It didn't say, I think it says February is when it becomes effective. I don't know if he's, you know, going to be using up vacation time and the rest of it until then, because I think I saw something about a lieutenant colonel stepping up to act as superintendent? I think I saw that. So anyway, I just wanted that to be on the record. And why is everybody beating up on Tavarius Floyd, right? Well, he said he was a part owner of this, but we don't think he is. Who cares? I'm telling you right now, the man identifies as the part owner of that business. You leave him alone. Back the hell off. How dare you tell him how he can identify? No, we have got to be consistent on this. The same people who are attacking him because he said he's a lawyer, and they're saying, well, you're not a lawyer. I'm telling you right now, the man identifies as a lawyer. That's it. He's a lawyer. And the same people go, oh, you know, he's not really the part owner of whatever that business is. Was it a funeral home? I don't know if I want to be a part owner of that, but whatever. Now, he works there part-time. Doing what? Lawyer stuff, probably. How dare you say he's not a part owner? The man identifies as the part owner of that business. By God, he's the part owner. And you know what? If you are the other owner, you better give him his cut, because he identifies as the part owner. What kind of world are we living in where people can't identify in any way that they want? You're a boy? You want to tell me you're a girl? Go ahead. You can do it. Now, we do have professional people who claim that that is not true. Wasn't one of them hanging out with Arnold Schwarzenegger? Wasn't that? I'm trying to think now. Yeah. Like a little kid. Germ, didn't we have some little kid who was telling us what the difference was?
A penis. Girls have a vagina.
Yeah, all right. Well, yeah, I mean, that's a technicality, of course, called biology. But other than that, hey, you can identify as what you want. Like tonight, I'm going to go see Kevin Sorbo over at the Virginia Council Speaker Series. And personally, I know that he's, what did I read? He's like 6'3". I identify as 6'4". Now, I'll still be looking up to him and he'll be looking down to me, but I identify as 6'4". So, you know, all is right with the world. It's just craziness. How dare they tell him he can't identify as the partial owner of that business? Tomorrow, if the guy wanted to identify as a shrub, he'd be allowed to. Well, I need to have my limbs cleaned and I've got thorns. Whatever. Have it done. Good for you. Move along. Oh, and the final, what was it, the final mayoral debate in the city of Richmond? Please don't take this the wrong way, but who cares? Honest to God, every time they have some sort of city event featuring city leadership, I said that without laughing. No, I didn't. I was trying to say it without laughing, but every time they have one of these events that features city leadership, most of us are happily reminded of why we do not live in the city. So Danny Avila, who, if you remember, was what, the big COVID wrangler during Governor Goober's reign of error. He wants to be mayor. Let him be mayor. Who cares? Who cares? Are you going to reconsider and say, oh, yeah, I'm going to move into the city now if Danny Avila wins the mayorship? I'm willing to bet no. I'm willing to bet no. You take a look at what goes on there. You look at the epic failure that is Richmond Public Schools. And you and I both know you wouldn't send your kids to those schools unless you had to. Hey, I grew up in the city of Philadelphia. I know, Jeff, we've heard this. Oh, you're going to hear it again. I grew up in the city of Philadelphia. If my parents would have had the money to get out of the city of Philadelphia, to send me to a better school district, to send my brother to a better school district, you know what they would have done? They would have moved. They didn't have the money. So I went to the Philadelphia Public Schools, and you are the beneficiary of all of that incredible learning and knowledge and stuff that I picked up there. Isn't that great? 13 days until the presidential election is over. Oh, I don't know about you. I really am at the point, like, I just can't wait. I can't wait. I'm so ready for it to be over. And I'm so absolutely positively disgusted by the latest October surprise. I guess it's the October surprise, right? The Atlantic Monthly Magazine. What a rag that thing is. I wouldn't insult dead fish by wrapping dead fish in the Atlantic Magazine. It's terrible. And they've got another hit piece. No, seriously, sit. You may want to sit down for a second here. I'll do the official. Let me get a sip. You may want to take a sip of your beverage now when I break the news to you that there's yet another hit piece on Donald Trump. What? Say it ain't so. It's so. And the Atlantic is the one that is doing it. This time is, what is it, Jeffrey Goldberg? Absolute appalling, abysmal, insulting, disgusting. And there's nothing new there. What is interesting, and I mean really interesting, there is a young lady who is dead. She got killed at Fort Hood. You remember this story? She was in the Army. She was serving at Fort Hood. And she was murdered. Virginia Gillen. And I know I'm probably mispronouncing her name, and I apologize, Gillen. But She was murdered at Fort Hood. Donald Trump did so much for that family, did so much to help them, including paying for things. And he never told anybody about it. This Atlantic magazine does a piece, again, hit piece on Donald Trump, and they're attacking him for how he treats the military, and they try and use this woman as an example. Well, this woman's sister stood up and said, hey, baloney. She called complete and total Bernie Sanders on this nonsense. She said, you people are absolutely lying about how President Trump conducted himself. And the attorneys for these people said they were absolutely disgusted and they accused Atlantic of lying. The attorney, in fact, said in his 30 plus years of being an attorney, he had never been in a situation like this where somebody just flat out lied like that. So I guess the hits will keep on coming on President Trump. There's nothing I can do about it, nothing you can do about it, except you got to make sure you get out there and vote. And you know, I don't ever give people like sample ballots. I got a request. Jeff, could you put together a sample ballot for me? No, not my job. Not even close to my job. Not even remotely my job. No, I'm not putting together a sample ballot for anybody. Now, we talk about the issues, and we talk about the candidates. And if, based on that, you can't figure out for whom you will vote, then, I don't know, stay at home. Have lunch. Take a nap. No, I'm not putting together a sample ballot. It's crazy. And who cares if I put together a sample ballot? Honestly, no offense to the fine human being who asked me for the sample ballot, but come on, dude. Don't look to me to do that for you. That's your work. Because your mileage may vary from mine. Now, I may not. You may be totally on board with what I'm saying, as you should be, because I'm right. But, you know, you gotta choose who you're voting for. That's just not my job in any sense of the world. It just isn't. Just is not. Anyway, let me tell you, we had a couple of great things that are happening this afternoon. We got Mary Rook, who's joining us from the Daily Caller. Looking forward to that. Mike Dickinson, our buddy Mike Dickinson, is on the ground as we speak in, where is it, Duluth, Georgia. It's going to be the biggest Donald Trump rally of all the Donald Trump rallies. And Mike is actually on the ground there. He's at the rally, and he'll be reporting live for us, what do you say, 5, 5:35, whatever it is, in the 5 o'clock hour. He already told me that people were lining up at 7 this morning, and Donald Trump doesn't go on to speak until 7 tonight. Think about that. Yeah. Reminder about the text line. Yeah, I should do that, right? The Chronic Care of Richmond text line, always available to you, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. You feel free to shoot me a text over there, 833-804-1140, the Chronic Care of Richmond text line, and I will be perfectly happy to share it with everybody that you would care to have it shared with. 315, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. 321, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. It is Wednesday afternoon. Our pal Mary Rook from the Daily Caller is going to be along in just about 20 minutes. Chat with her about what she is seeing right now, 13 days before the big presidential election. 5:35 this afternoon, Mike Dickinson's dropping by, our erstwhile citizen reporter, who, as we speak, is on the ground in Georgia. He's reporting live for us from Donald Trump's big rally in Georgia, which by all accounts is going to be the biggest Donald Trump rally of all time. It's going to be huge. And Dr. Sarah Kranzman, who I absolutely adore and love, and I love everything that she does. She's an amazing woman. She is the executive director of the Friendship Circle. She's going to be with us at 4:35. Why? Because we got the walk and roll coming up. And if you've not been to one, you should. Make plans to attend. Another great opportunity to support our friends at the Friendship Circle of Virginia. David in Midlothian hits me up on the Chronic Care of Richmond text line, 833-804-1140. Jeff, I heard you mention earlier, you're a product of the Philadelphia public school system. So is the most underrated stooge of the Three Stooges, Larry Fine. But of course, you already knew that. David in Midlothian. You know what's funny? I did know that. And Larry Fine, in fact, graduated from Central High School, as did I. I believe he is in the Central High School of Philadelphia Hall of Fame. No, I am not. 757 Smelvis says, hey, Jeff, someone needs to take a picture of you and Kevin Sorbo, one of you looking up and one of you looking down. Yeah, well, if I identify as 6'4 and Kevin Sorbo really is 6'3, then I'm taller. Now, on a good day, I'm 5'10", but that doesn't matter. That's just reality, and, you know, we don't necessarily deal with reality. We just, it's how you feel and how you identify. That's why they're picking on this poor Tavarius Floyd dude. Oh, he says he's a lawyer. He's not a lawyer. Please stop it. He identifies as a lawyer. Now, I wouldn't hire him, but that's, you know, that's me. He identifies as the partial owner of some company somewhere, and the owner of the company says that's not true. How dare he rain on that poor man's parade? If he identifies that way, you let him identify. 804, Jeff, Democrats' closing arguments, always the same. Orange Man, Hitler, January the 6th. Yeah, that about sums it up. What's-her-face is dishing out even bigger bowls of word salad. I almost feel sorry for her. I mean, not that. You know, you can't go into debt there. 804, Kurt. Jeff, you do seem to go on and on about things you claim not to care about. Kurt, is that that little news-reading dude, Kurt? No, I don't know. It might, he doesn't like us. Somebody told me that. I mean, again, I don't care, but, I mean, there you have it. Jeff, the writer for The Atlantic is a disgrace. Yes, you are correct. Another one says, Jeff, just waiting for Democrats.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
France to recycle good people on both sides. Yeah, that's not going to happen. They're not. They're not going to recycle anybody on the Democrat side. Not a chance. Right? I mean, everything that the Democrats want to do is just fine with the left-wing legacy media types. Seriously, they don't care. They do not care, and they're not interested in telling you the truth. So stop beating your head against the wall, banging it against the wall, going, geez, why are they lying to me? Why are they not doing nice things? Why are they not doing good things? Because they don't care. Because they're bad people. So there you have it. Let me remind you that Laura Trump is coming to town on Saturday, and this is going to be exciting. So it's Spirit of Virginia. That's Governor Youngkin's organization. And they talk about a great lineup. So you got Governor Glenn Youngkin, who I love. You got Rob Whitman, who I adore. Hung Cao, who I respect. And Laura Trump, who is just so easy to love on so many levels. I'm telling you, she has turned the RNC around, hasn't she? And it is this Saturday. Doors open at 8 a.m. The whole thing kicks off at 10 a.m. It's down at Keystone Acres. Now, Keystone Acres is in Chesterfield County. Don't get confused here. It's not the, I think somebody thought it was the car museum, truck museum. It's not. But that is something you need to go see if you've not been there. But that is this Saturday. Now, I'm going to miss it because I'm going to be in Chicago. Although that time I'm probably going to be on a plane coming back from Chicago. But if you're around, I wouldn't miss it. I would absolutely make a point to get over there and see it. 326, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. .335, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Wednesday, and the weather's lovely. I just got to tell you this. If you are headed out to join me over in Glen Allen to enjoy Kevin Sorbo's presentation, well, it's going to be great. I was torn. You know, what am I going to wear? You know, I spend a lot of time. No, I don't. But I thought short sleeves were good. It's going to be at 70 degrees at 6 o'clock this evening, so it's going to be absolutely fine. Now, overnight, it's going to be darn right frigid, and you'll have to deal with that on your own. But we're 13 days away from the election. And there's a brand new hit piece in The Atlantic. No shock there. John Kelly has a quote. And as the Trump campaign has rightly pointed out, this is all crap that's been out there before that's been thoroughly debunked. I hate to be the one to tell you this, but if you're really believing any of this nonsense, especially coming today, 13 days before the election, then you need professional help. Take a deep breath. Stay focused on what really is going on and why it's really going on, and do what you need to do. A good way to stay up to date with things, by the way, is the Daily Caller. Our pal Mary Rook is an analysis writer. That's the big title. A commentarian, I think, is another good one. But she's a great writer, and she's at the Daily Caller, and she joins us on a regular basis. She's got a big documentary coming out called Cleaning Up Kamala, and I'm happy to say she's with us. Mary, good afternoon.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, the pleasure's mine. Great to have you back. I want to talk about cleaning up Kamala, but before we get into that, because there's more than a couple of chuckles there about how our friends in the legacy news media have handled themselves, what's your sense 13 days in front of this election?
You know, I try not to be too positive with this kind of stuff. As we know, it can kind of come down to the wire, and it's a little bit nerve-wracking. However, I think that when you're looking at, return ballots and people showing up to the polls in these swing states, and it's looking good for Trump, and especially in somewhere like Pennsylvania. And, you know, I know that Florida is not really a swing state anymore, but mm-hmm. Have you seen the ballot stuff coming out of Miami-Dade, where Republicans are up in Miami-Dade County in Florida, which is traditionally a very blue county? I mean, I think this kind of speaks to where we are nationally. I think that there's going to be a wide variety of different types of demographics voting for Trump that would have typically voted Democrat that instead have realized that their life has been considerably worse under the Biden-Harris administration, and they don't want four more years of that. So I think that's kind of where I sit. I feel positive about it. However, things can change.
Well, certainly things can change. But I think you're so spot on, Mary, because that's what it is. Every one of us, regardless of what team jersey you might wear regularly, every one of us is paying more for gasoline. We're paying more for food. We can't even envision our kids being able to get a mortgage to buy a house. And that cuts across all lines. I mean, it's right there.
Right.
It's easy to consume. And I don't know, unless you're a confirmed masochist, I don't know why you'd want four more years of this nonsense. I got about your now it's called a documentary, but shall we say it is rather humorous, your appraisal of this cleaning up Kamala. Our friends, the legacy news media, man, they got all their stuff together, all their brooms and paintbrushes just in time to do the job.
Oh, absolutely. This documentary has been really fun to promote because, unlike some of our other ones, that, this is a pretty serious topic, but we tackle it in a little bit of a different way. There's less of the ominous tone and more of, like, laughter whenever you're reading it, because I think at this point it's so sad that you have to laugh. They have debased themselves in such a way that I think the American people, at least the majority of them, are looking at legacy media and really turning them out. I mean, you see that in, just viewership alone, but then also, a lot of people will say, I used to consume this type of media all the time, and then I saw one thing that hit me and said, okay, well, if they can lie to me about this topic, then they're probably lying to me about more. And I think that's what our hope is for this documentary, that we give people several different topics to latch onto and say, okay, well, if corporate media is willing to lie to me about this, then I bet you they're lying to me about a lot more.
So you're out there, you're making this film, and you're examining all of this, and because you've been with us before, and I read your stuff regularly, I know you're smarter than the average bear. You knew all this stuff that was out there. Was there anything that jumped up, even in your courage, that made you say, oh man, even I didn't think of this crazy stuff?
There was one that was really funny. There was a fact check that the Daily Caller's investigative team dug up. It says Kamala Harris oversaw a police department that was abusing people's rights and that she did not disclose the defense attorneys to defense attorneys when there was exculpatory evidence. She didn't do that. She never did. And so what happened? Along came a federal judge and said enough is enough, and he freed 1,000 people that she had put behind bars. And PolitiFact had to rate the claim mostly true, because it is. And, it's 100% true, but they can't go behind and say, oh, this is 100% true. This is actually what happened. A federal judge had to come and clean up her mess. So they have to rate it mostly true. It's like I said earlier, it's sad that 1,000 people whose lives were drastically changed and ruined because of what she did. And she had to have a federal judge come and clean it up for her. And then PolitiFact can't even sympathize with 1,000 Americans who she ruined. Instead, they have to sympathize with the Democratic candidate and say mostly true. So,
it's insane. And the only thing I'm thinking, I'm sitting here, Mary, I'm going, well, mostly true, because they stopped counting at 501, right? They didn't get to the other 499
right.
people whose lives were screwed up because of her. Tell me a little bit more about this, because I do want people, obviously, to go and watch the documentary Cleaning Up Kamala, and you'll explain to us the best way to do it. But what are some of the other things that you were able to cover as part of this documentary?
What we really wanted to do is kind of lay it out from the beginning of when she was AG and how they started cleaning her up as she starts doing her Senate run, and then obviously her first run for president where she failed miserably and then ended up having to take the back seat to Joe Biden, and then now in her next presidential run. And we kind of go through a bunch of different topics, including one of my favorites, which is she the border czar? Is she not the border czar? And, and we show in the film several different outlets who in, 2021, 2022, call her outright, the border czar, but then had to go back and change it and say, well, we were wrong when we put this in there, or didn't even mention the edit at all and just edited it to make it better for her. And as we know, she was definitely the border czar put in charge of what's going on with illegal immigration, and we've seen the devastation that's happened there. So, what we're trying to do with this is give people the ability to have the facts as they are. There's no, you know, right-leaning, left-leaning slant on here. This is just everything that we found up to the point of us making the documentary, and what people can do with it. And, you know, I say this a lot to the people I work with, that it's really too bad that we put this out before we were able to get that 60 Minutes CBS interview with her, because that would have been another perfect example to add into the documentary, where they literally tweet out a video and her garbled response. And then in the live airing, they, you know, doctor it and make it seem like she's more intelligent than she is. And so the issue is that there are going to be a lot of voters that only see the live airing, and they know that. And so we're hoping that this gives people a chance to be able to make the decision on whether they keep tuning corporate media in.
Well, I need people to watch this, because I want people to fully understand. What is the best way for people to watch Cleaning Up Kamala?
So you can go to cleaningupkamala.dailycaller.com and subscribe. It's obviously part of our Patriot subscription, and so if you subscribe there, you also get access to all of the rest of our great documentaries that we put out throughout the year. We have things on the transgender craze. We have things on squatters' rights and, you know, all these different topics that affect Americans on a daily basis. But this has by far been the funniest and best one, I think, that we put out.
I'll tell you something, Mary. Number one, it is great. I say that not because you're here. I said it to my producer, Jeremy. I've said it to anybody that I can come in contact with. You got to watch this. And if you're of a certain age, and you are far younger than I am, Mary, so you don't remember this firsthand, but I do. I remember the old Soviet press, Pravda, Izvestia. You know, they'd have a photo, then they'd erase somebody one year. They'd put somebody else in there. This event we all watched. No, it never actually happened. And it was, my God, it was, who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes? And now our corporate media, our legacy news media hacks at the national level especially, man, this is them. They got the T-shirt.
Oh, absolutely. The media have manufactured their perfect candidate, and they are willing to do whatever it takes to continue to prop her up.
Wow, it's crazy. Well, Cleaning Up Kamala, by the way, goes in the non-fiction category. The Atlantic drop today is purely in the fiction category. It's an absolutely appalling article with these old, tired lines that didn't fly the first time. So, cleaningupkamala.dailycaller.com. That's the best way. Go, people sign up as a Patriot subscriber.
Absolutely.
All right. What else you got? You got cooking. You got anything else? Are you busy for the next 13 days? Are you
Oh, absolutely not. You know, the brakes are not on the car at this point. We are just rolling down the hill. I'm actually covering that Atlantic piece today, and what it could mean for Kamala's campaign. You know, I think that there was a really interesting anecdote that they put in there. That, of course, it was trained to hit Trump, where he reportedly said, you know, why does it cost $60,000 to bury a Mexican, which is derogatory, racist, and bigoted? He didn't say it. Everybody's claiming he didn't say it. Even John Roberts from Fox News said he was in the pool that day as a press reporter. And he said that Trump was nothing but respectful and helpful to the family and wanted to do whatever he could to help them. So we know it's wrong, but I think that what the media did in this is accidentally exposed where Kamala's greatest weakness is, and I think that is with Hispanic voters, and we're going to see that in places like Miami-Dade. We're going to see that in places like Arizona, Nevada. So I'm really, you know, we have a lot going on right now at the Daily Caller, and as you said, there's no time off. There's no breaks. Actually took a little bit of a siesta a couple weeks ago in order to prepare for the last couple weeks before the election, just so that I had the energy up.
I got you. Well, listen, Mary, I say this each time you're with us. I thank you for being here. I love what you do over there at the Daily Caller. I think you got a great team at the Daily Caller. Cleaningupkamala.dailycaller.com is where we're going to send people. I'll get this up on all of my social media, make it real easy for folks to slide on over there. Keep doing the great work, Mary. I look forward to chatting with you again.
All right. That sounds good. Thank you so much, Jeff.
Thank you. That is Mary Rook from the Daily Caller. Check it out. Cleaning up Kamala. This media has built Kamala Harris. They from scratch. Well, she's done all these things wrong. These are all terrible ideas. These are word salad she's prepared. Not to worry. We have a cleanup on aisle six. And they come along and they clean everything up. But there gets to a point where you've just seen it too much. You've heard it too much, right? There's no way to go back and remake this. And I'm just hoping against hope that people are really honestly. 405, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Wednesday. And Jeremy's going to be very, very happy to hear this. I do believe that I have re-engineered, I reverse-engineered exactly what the problems have been. I think, amongst other things, the power cord has been damaged. I do. It's amazing with all the equipment that is utilized in this sort of stuff, and you look at these really thick cables for a lot of stuff. The power cord, man, it's like a paperclip. So I think that's what it is. I'm sharing that right now because I want everybody to enjoy that. I'll bet you the stuff at the Trump rally is looking good. Oh, my gosh. 13,000 people. 13,000 people. Our buddy Mike Dickinson, as you know, does this real honest-to-goodness citizen reporting for us. Every Wednesday he joins us. We got him a little bit early because the rally in Georgia is in place. It's getting underway. And the president himself doesn't speak for a couple more hours. Mike, thanks for being here, man.
Yeah, of course. Anything to give the people of Richmond the real truth about what's going on that the national legacy media won't tell you.
Well, listen, that's a long list of things they're not getting right. So we're only here for the next few hours, you know. We don't have time for all of it. But
yes.
Tell everybody where you are and exactly what is going on.
I'm here at the Gas South Arena in Duluth, Georgia. It was billed as the biggest Trump rally of the year. It's President Trump, Tulsi Gabbard, Ben Carson, Tucker Carlson, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Riley Gaines, Jason Aldean. It's a who's who list of real Americans that are here to come out and rally everyone to support President Trump.
Oh my gosh.
I've been to some pretty big events in my life. I've been to WrestleManias. I've been to Major League Baseball All-Star Games. I've been to meet Hulk Hogan.
Yep.
But coming here this morning at 4 a.m. and seeing the line already about 100 people deep just to get in, And the event's not till 7 p.m., you know, 16 hours early to see President Trump speak. It's unreal. And the diversity of the supporters that are out here, totally different. I mean, it's not what the Democrats or the mainstream media would tell you. It's all, you know, the Kamala Harris, it's all, you know, it's all white guys that like Trump. No, this is a very diverse group of male, female, black, white.
Well, all right, but you have to tell me about all of the terrible fights and shouting matches that are happening because, you know, those Trump people are bitter, angry people.
Absolutely none. There've been no fights, no shootings, no altercations. You know, you can't do that at a Democrat event. There's always going to be some kind of violence or some kind of fight. You know, Trump supporters, conservatives, we don't fight with each other. You can put 100,000 conservatives in a place and there won't be a fight or a shooting.
Yeah, absolutely correct. So a huge situation, huge arena. You said, what is it going to be, like 17,000?
Yeah, I mean, they're still packing people in now. I can't imagine what the parking situation is like outside. It was crazy when they started letting us in at noon today.
You were in line, just so everybody knows, you were in line at 4 this morning and you got in at noon, and he doesn't go on until 7 o'clock this evening if you're lucky.
Yes, that's correct, and that's what you got to do these days if you want to see arguably one of the best presidents of all time and the greatest living president.
Wow.
See,
that is amazing.
President Trump is a draw. You know, people come to see him because they believe in him, they believe in his message, and they believe that he's the last hope that we have to save this country, because if Kamala Harris wins, it's going to be terrible. You know, she hates America. She hates everything America stands for, and she hates the opportunity that our kids have. She doesn't want anyone to have opportunity.
That's right. That's right. No, you're absolutely spot on. Mike Dickinson is joining us. Now, Mike joins us every Wednesday. He is our roving citizen journalist. He does so much wonderful work in Central Virginia reporting, you know, a little bit like Andy Ngo does on that national basis. But he's on the road today. He is in Georgia, Duluth, Georgia, Giant Arena. 17,000 is what it's supposed to hold. That's what it says it holds. And, you know, it might be even more than that by the time you get everybody in there. It's a silly question, but is there a seat left in the house?
I have not seen any seats left. I know they're packing people in the aisles now just so they can get in tonight by 7 and see when President Trump speaks. He had another event to go to this afternoon in another part of Atlanta, but I believe he will be here sometime after 7, and they're going to get everyone in that they possibly can to see him.
Wow. And this at the same time that Kamala Harris says he's tired, he's hiding, his staff is hiding him. He's everywhere, for God's sakes.
Yesterday, President Trump was in Asheville, then he was in Greensboro, then there was another event, and then today he had an event in Atlanta. He had an event this afternoon in a suburb of Atlanta with black pastors, and tonight he's here. So any idea from Kamala Harris that President Trump is somebody who gets tired, it's totally just another one of her number of lies that she can tell, because she can't tell the truth. Kamala Harris is a liar. She can't tell the truth about President Trump. All she can do is lie.
Yeah. You know, you would think, Mike, and I want to remind everybody, Mike Dickinson is joining us. He's on the ground for us in Duluth, Georgia, at President Trump's biggest ever rally. And given that every rally he holds seems to be bigger than the one before it, that's saying something, Mike, that you got such a huge crowd. But you're right. When you talk about Kamala Harris, it just does not appear that she can say anything truthful. She doesn't really know who she is or what she believes, or if she does, then she just doesn't want to share it. And so there's all this projection against President Trump. And look, you can knock him any way you want, but the last thing you can do is call the man tired or claim that he's hiding. That's just a bald-faced lie.
And, you know, Kamala Harris, I don't know what her deal is with all of that, but she got asked the question directly about what she can do to make the country better, because people in America think that we're on the wrong path, in her interview with Bret Baier and Fox News. And the only thing Kamala Harris could muster up was, well, Donald Trump's been running for president that long. I mean, what a stupid answer by a stupid person. I mean, you have your free softball shot to take a shot, and you don't take it.
I know. That's the thing that's so frustrating, right? That's the thing that's so frustrating for anybody who has ever played in the media anyway. You don't get many underhanded softball pitches that you can just hit out of the park. And she has stepped to the plate and whiffed every single time.
Exactly. She has nothing to say, because at the end of the day, she doesn't really have anything. She's just a puppet, and all she can do is bash Trump. That's her only thing she can do. She's giving a closing argument next week. It's going to be nothing but probably 30 minutes of Trump bashing.
Yeah. Oh, totally. That's all it's going to be.
Yeah.
Don't ask her what she would have done differently or what she will do differently, because, you know, you get that blank, glazed over look that, you know what? Maybe that actually is the answer. The fact that she can look you in the face and has that glazed eye look, maybe that tells us everything we need to know.
Yes, that probably is. And, you know, it's been so great to see all of the Trump supporters. You know, you make so many friends when you're in line to come to an event like this.
Yep.
Everybody's welcoming. There's nobody out there trying to start fights. There's nobody out there trying to spread hate. It's just a culture of everybody. I mean, just when we were in line today, we had men, women. I was sitting next to two lovely black women from the suburbs of Atlanta, and they never voted for a Republican before, but they like Trump.
I love it. By the way, how many people bring in McDonald's into the event? Are they allowed to do
that? Oh, it's all over the outside. Everyone loves McDonald's. Now, that was what a great move by President Trump to do that. What a great chess move. And it puts Kamala squarely back, you know, even further, because she doesn't look like she can relate to anybody. And President Trump, by doing that, made himself relatable to so many people out there, because he went to a McDonald's and served fries. What a relatable, great move.
Exactly. Oh, just from a media positioning point, you're right. And, you know, they were knocking him. Oh, he was wearing a tie. Oh, he was wearing a white shirt. You know what he looked like to me? He looked like every franchisee who has been in the business for a long time. He just looked like a guy who showed up to work and did the job and, you know, was going to go home and hug his wife at the end of the day.
Yes, yes, he looked just like that, and yeah. And I mean, I think it was a real boost to the people that work in it. You're not going to see Joe Biden or Kamala Harris out there working a real 9-to-5 job with blue collar people that have blue collar problems and blue collar checkbooks. You're going to see them worrying about, you know, their elitist friends,
yep,
and
yep,
for spreading their, you know, left wing propaganda. They're not interested in the blue collar middle class person in America. They can't relate.
No, they absolutely they cannot. Mike, I appreciate you being here. Mike D4RVA is the handle over on X. Make sure you're checking him out. Thanks again, Mike Dickinson, on the ground in Duluth, Georgia, at what is going to be apparently the largest Donald Trump event in history. 4:15, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 4:21, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. Yeah. Let me play for you, share with you just a little bit of Kamala Harris. Oh, my gosh. All right, Jerm, I'm not sure which computers are actually in play, so you're going to have to tell me which one. Cut number 3, is that available to them?
About the historic nature of your candidacy on the campaign trail. Why is that?
Well, I'm clearly a woman. I don't need to point that out to anyone. The point that most people really care about is, can you do the job? And do you have a plan to actually focus on them?
There is a big gender gap in this race. Fewer men support you right now than they did President Biden. Some of your allies have suggested there's sexism at play. I wonder, do you think there is sexism at play here?
Let me just tell you something. You've come to my events, and you will see there are men and women at those events. So the experience that I am having is one in which it is clear that regardless of someone's gender, they want to know that their president has a plan to lower cost, that their president has a plan to secure America in the context of our position around the world.
Do you not see sexism as a factor in this race at all?
I don't think of it that way. My challenge is the challenge of making sure I can talk with and listen to as many voters as possible and earn their vote.
Well, okay, you know what? You know how many of us had said, oh, hey, she doesn't really know what she's talking about and she never says anything that's true? Well, guess what? She was kind of true about that. She was. Because most people who are looking at this race feel exactly how she just said they should. I don't look at the race and say, oh, my gosh. Oh, she's a woman. Can't vote for a woman. I don't think that for a second. I love women. I love strong women. I respect strong women. I appreciate women who are brilliant and accomplished and doing great things everywhere. I don't have any problem with that at all. But I'm doing exactly what she claims she wants, which is to look at her and look at President Trump and say, he's better than she is. He does have plans. He does have accomplishments. And the fact that I'm not voting for her, take my word on this, has nothing to do with her gender. Speaking of brilliant, smart women, Dr. Sarah Cranston is going to join us at 4:35. Executive Director, Friendship Circle. Yeah, man, it is time to walk and roll again. We'll hear about it moments from now. 4:25, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRBA. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRBA. It is a Wednesday evening. A lot of us are headed over to see Kevin Sorbo at the Glen Allen Center over there, the Cultural Center. It's going to be great. I don't know if it's a complete and total sellout yet. I was chatting with John Reed a little bit earlier, and I guess they had like 20 tickets left or something like that. So if you were thinking about going, man, I would hop online ASAP, thevirginiacouncil.org, get your tickets. I also want to tell you that we are coming up on another Jewish holiday. It's an especially important and significant one this year. As I've mentioned this before, right? We sort of front-load our stuff. September, October, we're really busy. We go from one holiday to the next, so it seems. And coming up this evening at sunset, it's a little holiday called Shemini Atzeret, but then it goes into Simchat Torah. That's the giving of the Torah. It's actually a very celebratory time, a lot of dancing. Well, it's also on the Hebrew calendar, on the Jewish calendar, the anniversary of the slaughter of those 1,200 people in Israel. Now, you and I talked about a couple of weeks ago, October the 7th. That's the calendar on our date. But Simchat Torah was the day that this happened on the Jewish calendar. So we'll be discussing a little bit more. I just wanted to kind of give you a little lay of the land, give you a little primer on that before we discuss it over the next couple of days. We've got a great event coming up. Let me tell you, it is all positive and all friendly. You know that I think the world of the Friendship Circle. I think it's an amazing organization. And here in Virginia, the Friendship Circle of Virginia, we are absolutely blessed to have Dr. Sarah Cran-Cement as the executive director. And they got a big event coming up. And let me tell you, if the Friendship Circle has a big event coming up, then I got to talk about it. And I'm always happy to welcome Sarah to the program. Sarah, good evening, my friend.
Hello, Jeff. How are you?
I am doing well, and you are getting ready for the next Walk and Roll.
We are. Thank you so much for having us on and for always highlighting all of Friendship Circle's amazing events and opportunity that are always free for the community, so we're always happy to share. Yeah. We have our Walk and Roll coming up. So for those of your listeners who may not know what the Walk and Roll is, like every good organization, we have a walk, but ours is a little bit different in that it is fully accessible. So that means that anyone using a wheelchair, a bike, a baby carriage, a scooter, rollerblades, roller skates, whatever you want on wheels, or you can walk or run, we have a fully accessible Walk and Roll coming up on November 10th at Bird Park, and it's a half a mile loop. We do it twice around Fountain Lake. It's really a beautiful venue, and it's just a super fun event. It's from 1 to 3 p.m., and like I said, it is a free community event, and we can have thousands of people. So right now, I think we're up to almost 400, three-something that are registered, and we would love to blow that out of the water. So for anybody who would like to join us, they can go on our website, which I'll share in a moment, and they can join. And if I have a second, I can tell you all the things that will be there.
Well, you have more than a second, and you can always take as much time as you need because I think the world of you, and I love Friendship Circle. So, yeah, what gives? What are we in for?
I appreciate that. So at the Walk and Roll, it's not only just a walk and a roll around the lake, but it is going to have some really fun activities. It is really just a great family fun event, and it's fun for coworkers, for kids, for adults. It's just a really great feel-good event every year. Mm-hmm. And this year, we always have some activities that, again, everything is free. There's going to be food, cotton candy, snow cones. There's going to be some popcorn, hopefully some good coffee for the those who want to drink coffee. And then, of course, there's activities. We're going to have some carnival games, inflatables, balloon twisting, henna this year, pony rides. There's all sorts of fun stuff. And, of course, we're also going to share resources in the community for the disability community. So we will have some vendors who will be there who are going to showcase their resources and be able to share with the community what they do. And so we always, at Friendship Circle, always look to collaborate with as many organizations in this space as we can. So there will be hopefully some good turnout there. Mm-hmm. And so there's just some really, really fun opportunities. And like I said, really anyone can come. You can bring a friend. Just come. It's just a really great event.
Now, what about the fee? I know you said it was free, but come on. Does it really cost something, Sarah?
So the truth is that there's one thing to know. If you're one of the first couple of people that sign up, and I know we may have blown through that already, but if you actually, we always have people that, sign up and then don't come. So for the first 150 people that register and actually come, we're actually giving away swag bags. They're going to have some really nice little thermoses this year. We're going into the fall, some thermoses, some nice gloves, a bag. And so not only is it free, but we're giving away things. So absolutely. It's really, truly free. Friendship Circle is a nonprofit, and we work on donations, and we work with sponsors. And so at this event, of course, as for the last many years, FastMart has been an incredible sponsor and friend of Friendship Circle. They are sponsoring this event as well. And then we have some many other somewhat smaller sponsors that are also a part of it. And there's a list there, so I'm not going to read them all.
Oh, okay.
But of course, I could, but I'm not going to read them all today. But I just want to really thank all of our sponsors that are making this event possible. And I think I'm going to be joining you again before this event. So maybe next time I'll read off all of our sponsors.
Yeah, you are.
Thank you. We appreciate it. So I'll take some time then to do it. I'll take some time then. There we go.
Now, you know that yes. I think the world of you, but I feel like I have to offer a piece of education on this whole fundraising thing. You can't raise funds when it's free and you're giving stuff away. I'm sorry. I got to break it to you, Sarah, but
it is true. It's so true. You know what? We also like to give back where we can, and we really feel like, you know what? One of the reasons that we do this is actually a good thing to talk about is that, you know, sometimes at Friendship Circle, we work to pair kids and young adults with disabilities together with teen friends that may or may not have disabilities in the community. And that's kind of our secret sauce. That's what we do. And we do monthly events. We do weekly events. We do ongoing things throughout the year. It is free for everyone that would like to join. They can find out more about us. But, you know, there are some people, many people in the community that may not have someone with a disability in their family, or they may not have a teen. And so they may not feel like Friendship Circle or this discussion of friendship and inclusion and belonging is really so meaningful to them. And so the reason we do these kinds of events where we bring the community out is because we want everyone to know that this is truly a community discussion. It's a community topic. Inclusion is everywhere. It's not just if you belong to Friendship Circle. It's all over in every place that we all go. As Jeff, I know you know, but for all of us, whenever we go somewhere, when we start having that lens of inclusion and looking to see who is not participating that can, how do we do this better? If it's a, you know, a work outing, if it's, I don't know, a school outing, if it's anything, right? If we're having a play date with friends, how do we make sure that everyone is included and has what they need to feel supported? And so Friendship Circle does these community events so that other people that may not join us all the time can participate, can see what we do, but also can remember that this is a discussion for everyone. That's the truth.
It absolutely is, and it's a beautiful thing. And I want you to share with the folks from FastSmart, because I don't know anybody from FastSmart. I've never met anybody in their, you know, the corporate ranks or anything else. But because they have supported Friendship Circle in such a visible and sizable way through the years, Sarah, I go out of my way to find a FastSmart to pop in for coffee, to top off with gas. I do that because they are standing with Friendship Circle, and I am grateful to them for having done that. They seem to be great people.
I love that you said that, and I will absolutely share that with them. And hopefully we'll even share this recording if we can with them, because it's such a meaningful thing. And I, by the way, I'm with you. I do it also. When I see one, I like make sure to go over and I make sure to get coffee. And I walk in sometimes and I'm like, do you guys know that you support these nonprofits? And most of them are like, no, we don't know what you're talking about. But I want, but I agree it's so important. And you know what, when it comes to sponsors, there are sponsors that are, you know, all in. Some want recognition, some don't. It just depends on who it is and what they're doing it for. And I want to say, FastSmart really, truly does it for just the right reasons. They tell us, here is the sponsorship money. You guys do what you want. Tell us how we can help, and that's it. And they've always been incredibly generous and kind, and they do it in a way that where they trust us with those funds. And hopefully, of course, we make them proud, but we are incredibly grateful to them. So thank you for highlighting that.
No doubt. You are definitely making them proud. Dr. Sarah Cran-Cement joining us. So, Sarah, one more time for folks who are thinking, all right, well, walk and roll. Yeah, I could do that. It sounds almost like a day at the park, because it's kind of a day at the park. Do they need to pre-register? I want to just make that clear. And if they don't, what should they put in their phone calendar to make sure they're there?
I appreciate that. So first and foremost, as always, everything at Friendship Circle can be found on our website. We're on social media, of course, but if you go to friendshipcircleva.org or fcva.org, our website, you will find there all the information. You can absolutely register. We would love registration, because that means we can figure out how to plan properly. But also, if you don't register, don't worry. You can still come. You can still show up. But if you would like to register in advance, we appreciate that. And you can do that on our website, fcva.org. And the event is coming up November 10th. It is happening from 1 to 3 p.m. at Fountain Lake in Bird Park. Again, there's going to be accessible parking. There are going to be just tons of people and, like I said, food, activities, all free, all accessible, all available. And please come. Bring a friend. Bring people who just have a good time and join us, because it will be a really beautiful, lovely event. And so we would love for your listeners to join, and for you guys, your family maybe to join. It would just be a beautiful experience all around. So we are hoping that the community will come out both to support Friendship Circle just by being there, not even through dollars. If you want to donate, of course, we always accept donations, but this is just an opportunity to show up and be there and bring a friend. That's the idea.
I love it. Well, Sarah, I appreciate you being here, and you absolutely will be back with us before the event happens, because if I can help promote this, I'm going to help promote this, and I wish you and yours a Chag Sameach, and
Thank you, Jeff.
We will talk again very shortly. That is my friend, and she is the best, and I'm saying it, not her, because she would blush, but I'm telling you, Dr. Sarah Cran-Cement from the Friendship Circle of Virginia, absolute best of the best. 446, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Wednesday. Lots of great stuff going on. Now, Kevin Sorbo is going to be at the Glen Allen Cultural Center. You have to have your tickets ahead of time, right? I don't think they're doing any walk-up tickets. And last I checked, which is a couple of hours ago, I don't want you to lead you down a primrose path here, but a couple of hours ago, I chatted with John Reed. And they still had a handful of tickets left. So if you go online to thevirginiacouncil.org, thevirginiacouncil.org, hopefully you'll be able to get yourself some tickets and come out to this great event. I also want to remind you that tomorrow morning at 6 a.m., you ought to be listening to John. And there are any number of reasons why you should be listening to John. One of the reasons, of course, is, well, maybe tomorrow is the day that he tells everybody that he is officially running for lieutenant governor. I don't know. I have no inside information except for this. I told John privately, and I'm saying it again publicly, if in fact he runs for lieutenant governor, he will have my complete, total, full support and endorsement, for whatever that means, and I will absolutely make a monetary donation to his campaign. I think you'd be an excellent lieutenant governor. I really do. I think that lieutenant governor spot, man, sometimes it gets lost in the shuffle. People don't do anything with that post. And some people do something good with that post. Winsome Sears, for the last 4 years, has been absolutely on fire, doing such a tremendous job as the lieutenant governor. She hasn't missed a single part of our beloved Commonwealth, and she has taken that office, and she has built it, and is just doing great work. And I really think, with her running for governor, what we want is to have somebody else move into the LG spot who can do exactly what Lieutenant Governor Winsome Sears has done. So I think that's John. That's just me. Now, I don't know, maybe somebody else is going to run. It's possible. I don't know why they would, but okay. But I'm hoping that he will, in fact, run. And I'm hoping maybe tomorrow's the day he announces it. Maybe it's tonight. Maybe he's going to have Kevin Sorbo actually announce that. That would be pretty cool.
Come on, man.
Well, he might. I'm not saying he will. I said he might. In the meantime, Kamala Harris continues to lie. Do you need further details, or you just want to stop with that? I mean, do I have to? Right, you're right. I would just leave it there. It's a blanket statement. Donald Trump, 13 days before Election Day, looks to be in a pretty good position. And make no mistake, the left is hitting them with every single solitary thing they have. All of these tried and true, proven false tropes are coming out of the woodwork. Don't fall for any of them. Keep your eye on the prize. Understand what's really at stake here. We are fighting for the survival of this country. 457, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.